Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series.
My guest today is John O'Donnell, founder and CEO of YieldHub, a pioneering leader in advanced data analytics for the semiconductor industry. Since establishing the company in 2005, he has transformed it from a two-person startup into a trusted multinational partner that empowers some of the world's leading semiconductor companies to improve yield, reduce costs, boost engineering efficiency, and enhance quality. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Glad to be here, Dan. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's been a pleasure working with YieldHub, and you have some amazing things coming up. And more recently, you've been talking about the need for real-time visibility. Let me ask, when did you first realize the industry needed real-time visibility? And maybe you can tell us a little bit more what real-time visibility is.
Well, first of all, I've walked around enough test and probe floors in my time to realize that there's a lot going on that is not visible just using historical analysis. By real time, I mean, if you have, say, dozens of testers or probers, do you know, does a system know somewhere, or does a person know what the levels of binning and parametric behavior is happening right now? It's not about being able to analyze something in going on a tester and looking at a wafer map. This is about the behavior right now on the test floor and how it compares with what it should be, as well as what it has been doing. So it's the live awareness by either a system or people managing the test floor of what is going on right now. The idle times that are happening, the various behaviors of bins, of retesting, of parametric intersite behavior, all that stuff. Do you know what's going on now? So I have known this for many years that there's a huge amount of information. It's like a gold mine in there if only people took advantage of it.
Okay, that makes sense. So is it used in wafer probe too, or just final test?
In one word, both.
Okay, and what types of issues can real-time monitoring detect that might otherwise go unnoticed?
Sure. Everything from unexpected yield loss, say a quarter way through a wafer, which if not detected would waste tester time because maybe the fixtures need to be fixed, etc., by a technician, to idle time. I have passed in my time, I'm sure any listeners who are familiar with test floors will be aware that testers aren't running all the time. But to be able to capture when idle time happens, are there patterns involved in when idle time happens? All this is available and is possible to, first of all, detect, but also analyze if you have a real-time system. Often lots are retested, certain bins are retested. What if the, because of real time, the tester itself knew that there was no point in retesting certain bins because of that the success rate of retest is very low. So if you have, there's two aspects to it. One is the actual generation of real-time information. And also the second part of it is using that in real time, using this information in real time to make a decision. So it's the real-time monitoring, plus you add then using that information while the testing is happening. Because what can happen is if you do not take advantage of that information, if that information from real-time is not available, often the decision is, do we need to retest this lot? Yeah, because certain retest rates are, certain bins need to be retested, maybe not on information that would have been gained from having the real-time intelligence on the tester.
Interesting. So how difficult is this to implement?
Well, there's two aspects. One is to develop the solution, has taken a few years. To actually implement real time on a test floor in a big facility would take a few weeks. And the great thing is that the insights happen within days. So you're talking about years to develop the whole thing, implementation for a customer in a few weeks, and insights then within a few days.
When you say a few days, what are you talking about? How quickly can users actually see the results?
Once it's implemented, you will start seeing results real time. You'll start seeing the idle times. You'll start seeing the time it takes to between lots, the shift change over time that might be affecting things. All these are available straight away, like within probably 24 hours of having it on a test floor. This will highlight potential KPIs then that can be automatically generated from the data. So when operations managers look at the data, they'll say, there is something we can monitor here. We can generate some information from this data. For example, KPIs for retest success rate or something, or maybe idle time, and monitor those KPIs. And these then will cause operational changes and over time, real results of improved OEE, which is effectively tester utilization. These things will be seen pretty quickly after the KPIs are implemented, and these will be implementable across shifts. So for example, a KPI about maybe the average number of sites that you're testing each lot on, that kind of thing. This is so powerful. This information will transform how a test floor or probe floor is managed.
Oh, that's exciting. What if you have different types of testers or even different manufacturers' testers? How does that come into play?
Yeah. Our solution called YieldHub Live, we don't really care about the tester manufacturer as such, the type of tester, believe it or not. We really need to know two things. One is what the operating system is running on the tester. For example, it could be Windows 10 or something, or it could be Linux or Unix. It could be Windows XP or whatever. And then the second thing we need to know is what the data format coming out of the tester is. So as a company, we have about 1,000 different parsers written over the years. So very likely we can parse that data fairly quickly, get that up and running. Sometimes only bin data is being generated, not just parametric data, but that's okay. But also we can provide parametric real time. In other words, say, for example, to detect differences between the sites on it that are tested on a tester in parallel testing for parametric things like leakage or linearity or something like that. And these are really interesting insights into maybe testing issues. And if those issues are solved, if you can make all of your test sites behave the same or very similarly statistically, then your yield is automatically going to rise. Okay. So we don't care about the tester manufacturer as much as we care about the operating system. That really enables this.
Great. So does YieldHub Live affect test time?
Zero effect in test time. I met a company recently who were having their own efforts implementing real time. They were having difficulty because they were having to add hardware per tester, et cetera. There's no need. For hardware, there's no addition in test time. This is a seamless implementation of real time. And it's hard to believe, but we are steeped in this for many years, the knowledge base required to develop such a system.
Great. What if you have multi-site testing? Does that add complexity?
No, in fact, it's better still if you've you can get more out of a system like this if it's multi-site, because you will be able to refine your test capability across sites. And as I mentioned earlier, if you make the sites behave similarly statistically, then your yield is going to go up. So we monitor parametric bins yields down to the site level.
Can it help with the concept of feed forward? Maybe you can talk a little bit about what feed forward is as well.
Well, feed forward, from our experiences, when you can get information from a previous manufacturing step as part of making decisions with the current stage of your test flow. For example, using AI for prediction, for example, you might be able to predict that from what data that this wafer is supposed to behave really well, that the yield should be very high. And that information can be used then by the real-time system to detect, well, actually, the yield is pretty low on this wafer. We should stop it because it's very likely to be a test issue, right? So the feed forward information that this is supposed to be a really good wafer would allow you to actually detect test issues very early for when you're actually probing the wafer. And similarly, the feed forward from wafer sort to final test, it might have detected that certain parameters are a lot better than, and you know, could be automotive quality, for example, could show automotive quality, and then in final tests maybe there is an issue. Again, if that, if when you're starting to test a final test lot or test lot and final test, and you know that it's supposed to behave in a certain manner because of the probe results, for example, or the watt data, then that gives you intelligence. That gives effectively the tester intelligence to do something different. That might be to alert an operator or technician, or it might be to put the lot on hold because things are happening that are unexpected, that kind of thing. So the fact that the tester effectively is now intelligent because it's using real-time information, it can integrate information from feed forward from, say, the previous manufacturing step, and even have a more intelligent decision to make. And that will help the operations of testing.
Great explanation. Thank you. So, John, you mentioned AI, so I have to ask, do you see AI being integrated into such real-time systems?
Absolutely. We already implement AI to reduce test time, in particular, retest test time, for example. But there's huge opportunity here for integrating AI. You know, there's low-hanging fruit here in this whole real-time realm.
So just big picture, you know, what's the future of real-time?
I think the future of real-time is the fact real-time should, in my opinion, be standard practice in any factory trying to scale efficiently in probing or testing semiconductors. So the future should be, this should be standard. If I was responsible for a facility which is growing fast because of orders to test much higher volumes than before, and looked like I needed to add more test cells, I would not be happy to do that without knowing the how efficient I can become because of having real-time data by making the current test cells intelligent. Effectively, that's what it's doing. It's making the test cells intelligent. Make them intelligent and then buy more test cells if you need to. But you will probably find that real-time, the implementation of real-time already makes your test floor 10%+ more efficient. So the future for me is this should be a default. It should be real-time, whether it's from us or whoever, should be real-time for any test facility or probe facility for that matter.
Yeah, I agree completely. So final question, John, how does customer engagement work with YieldHub? You know, has that changed over the years? How do you acquire customers now? I know you're very active in the ecosystem and you have a great new website. How do you engage with customers?
So it's easier than ever to contact us, either via our webpage, our brand new webpage, yieldhub.com. We have a very active LinkedIn presence, and we have agents in different countries across the world. We have in North America, in Europe, in multiple countries in Asia as well. So we're easy to contact, but the first point of contact might be our yieldhub.com webpage, which has all the details.
Thank you for your time, John. I look forward to catching up with you at the end of the year.
Thanks, Danny. My pleasure. Thank you very much.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.